Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 50, bumper episode of the Crick Fix podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. With me, of course, is Estelle Vasudevan, who you can find at Estelle_Vasudev, the number one on Twitter. And then there's Jared Kimber, who you can find absolutely everywhere. And for this bumper episode, or actually, let me tell you guys, if you guys are new to this podcast, what we do on Crick Fix is we take any generic cricket category and we draft our top five each for that category in a snake-style draft competition. So the pick order goes 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. And guys, can you give me a bit of a drum roll?
No, I can't. I don't have drums on me.
That works. So, this episode is a bumper one because we will be picking the best cricketers of all time. Super broad.
That should be easy. No one's going to be upset at this.
We are expecting chaos, and Jared Kimber has first pick.
Don Bradman.
Yeah, easy.
I mean, there was a part of me that was like, okay, if it's best of all time and we're looking at multi-formats and everything. But then I was just like, let's not stuff around here. It's Don Bradman, right? It's Don Bradman. He's in the side. Job done. Now it's up to you guys to make mistakes.
Just one question, though. Do you think that had the World War II, not impacted his career or not cut it short, would he have had a better record or worse?
Better. Yeah, we did that. We looked at it recently, and I think he misses some of his peak years because of the war. I mean, it's ridiculous to say he missed some of his best years, but he probably missed some of his best years because of the war. So yeah, I think he would have been better. And he was pretty handy to begin with.
Yeah, and also just one caveat, and Varun dug this up when we were doing that piece, is that on sticky surfaces, Bradman averaged like 20 with the bat. So
he did.
Is that
so that means he averaged about 160 on good pitches. So, do you know what I mean? Like when someone else could average 160 on good pitches. Look, I think he was the first player who was set up to dominate what we would call modern wickets, hard, you know, true wickets. And that's why he was so much better than everyone else in that era. Whereas the other players were probably still, you know, holding on to the sticky wickets, the uncovered wickets, the seam, you know, the really grassy, seamy wickets and the lower bounce and everything. So I think that's why he was so dominant. But also he was like, he's maniacal, right? Like he would have worked out anything, I think. He's just that kind of person.
Yep. And you've clearly paid homage to 99.94. with that pick. And I think most people would have gone Bradman. All right, I've gotten pick number two. And this might come across as a hot take, okay? You've gone for unarguably probably the best batter of all time. So I'm going to go for arguably one of the best bowlers of all time in Shane Keith Warne. 708 test wickets, 293 wickets in ODIs, World Cup winner with Australia, and a brilliant cricketing brain as well. He also won the IPL in the inaugural season, so he kind of ticked off the T20 bucket. And I mean, just to kind of elaborate on why Warne, he also, of course, was no mug with the bat and unfortunately got close to a test century plenty of times, didn't get there. But just look at the way, you know, he kind of executed his skills. It's a tough gig. Leg spin is hard. And he made leg spin sexy again. Abdul Qadir kept it alive in the 80s and Warne made it sexy again. And just the variety that he had, plus his flipper, right? All those different kinds of balls. I've seen so many videos of Warne going through all those different kinds of deliveries. And then that action, which seems effortless, but really, you know, all these people have tried to mimic it and have failed. So it tells you just how strong a person Shane Warne was. And yeah, rest in peace, Warney. You're my first pick.
Does it bother you at all that he wasn't particularly good against India?
I mean, that's the only caveat, isn't it?
Well, the issue here is also there's perhaps another bowler who might be high up on this list who I think was a slightly better ODI player than Warne, even if Warne was a slightly better test player. So if we're looking at all format players, Warne was a very good ODI player and a great ODI player, but he might not have been an all-time great ODI player.
Well, it's interesting you say that, right? Because the other player that you're probably talking about did have friendlier surfaces to deal with and Warne didn't.
True.
So there's
True.
That.
No, I get that. No, I just, it feels to me a reach to pick Warne this high.
I told you it was going to be a hot take.
In the peak of his career, I feel like now that we're a couple of years away from him, you know, so Wisden had the top five players of the decade, didn't they? And they had Warne in there. Yeah, okay. I mean, he's in your sight and that's fine. There's still heaps of Warne fanboys out there. So I don't think you're going to have any issues in the comments, but you might get some issues from India. But that'd be the first time Indians have ever been upset with you before. So
yeah, not the first time at all. And now Estelle has two picks in a row.
Yeah, I'm a bit surprised that you picked Warne this early. I mean, obviously he's in the top 15, right? Probably top 5, 6, but I wasn't expecting him to go at 2. So that leaves me Sobers as my first pick.
Ooh, nice.
He could do everything, right? He could bowl like incredibly well. He was a good batter, a great batter, and not an easy era to be, you know, such an all-round great as well. So I think he's one of those players who are really iconic, right? You talk to any cricketer who grew up, who kind of came up in the 90s, 2000s, even earlier, they would talk about how Sobers and how good he was. And he had like a huge impact later, like once he finished playing as well. I know in Sri Lanka in particular, people like Arjuna talk about how much of an impact he had once he came to Sri Lanka and stuff like that. So I think he's a pretty straightforward pick for me at number 2. I thought he would be gone by the time I got my chance. But
he, to be fair, he was the only other guy in my head. And I mean, not just did he bowl extremely well, but different kinds of bowling, like left arm medium and then also left arm off spin. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, he's the first person to ever hit 6 sixes in an over, isn't it? So he was a pioneer in many, many ways. 365 was the highest score in Test cricket till Lara. So lots of stuff over there going for Sobers.
Yeah, he was second on my list.
Okay, enough. So I've got another one, right? I'm kind of torn between picking the other spinner and picking somebody else. Because, yeah, I'm going to go with Murali. 800 wickets in Test cricket. Also a World Cup winner for Sri Lanka. The reason I think you can argue both ways for Vaughan and Murali, right? Who's the better player of them? When you say Murali had better, you know, conditions to bowl in, and Shane Vaughan had tough conditions to bowl in. On the flip side, Sri Lanka depended almost solely on Murali, while Vaughan had like 3-4 good bowlers around him. So I think it's arguable who is the better bowler or who is the greater cricketer. Murali, 800, not only is it 800 wickets in Test cricket, I think it's also important to understand what kind of background he's coming from in Sri Lanka. It's a country that's just coming up. It doesn't have, when he's playing, it doesn't have a great system. A lot of the cricket that Sri Lanka got overseas was 1 test or 2 tests. I mean, 2 tests is still, they still happen. But during Murali's time, it was sometimes just 1 test. The opportunities he got overseas, right? And to be successful in that time, I think probably India and Australia are the only two places where he wasn't that successful. And also to come back from the whole chucking thing, right? The amount of strength I think it takes mentally to come back from that and continue to play and not just play but be as good as he was just makes him, you know, it's such a great story. And also ethnic minority in Sri Lanka during a time when there was a
not
lot of
just
issues.
An ethnic, not the just an ethnic minority. Though. Yeah,
But there are like with Murali's Tamilness, I won't get into it. But he's there are a lot of people who don't really think he owns
I know
the
he's
identity.
Not from,
yeah,
yeah, and I also know he's not from the north, so it is a slightly different version of Tamil than others. Yeah. But I pitched a documentary to ESPN when they were doing their cricket documentaries. I was like, you literally have the most famous cricketer in the world is essentially from a country where his own government is at war with people of his identity at the same time. Like, we don't talk enough about just how ridiculous he was. And I remember doing the podcast with Fidel Fernando, and he said so many people still pick Kumar ahead of him as the best player.
Crazy.
And it's like, I think you've probably gone a little bit too high with Murali. I think Vaughan and Murali have probably gone a little bit too high here. But you know, I mean, you know, they were handy. You'd slip him into an 11 if you can.
I'm happy Estella's picked Murali because, you know, I wanted her to. And I think it's a fantastic point that you've raised with respect to his ethnic background. And also, he was a freak of nature, right? And he kind of created a lot of shockwaves in cricket, not just by his bowling, but by his action as well. And he came out as the winner in all of that, which would also have been a great part of your documentary that never happened, Jared. So, there's a lot going on with Murali. Yeah.
We'll see.
All right.
They ended up doing a really boring documentary on Sachin Tendulkar instead, right? And I was just like, like, if you're going to do it, don't get me wrong, do a great documentary on Sachin Tendulkar. It wasn't even that. Anyway, I don't work for ESPN anymore, so fuck them.
All right, then. So I have my second pick now, and I'm torn between the obvious pick, which is going to be the fan favorite one, and you've just name dropped it as well, Jared. But what's a 50th episode of Crick Picks without some biased Behram picks, right? Like, that has to happen. So just because I want to pick him, Imran Khan is my second pick. And he's not like, it's not like it's a very outrageous thing that I've done over here, because this is the guy who between 1981 and 1991 played 51 test matches, averaged below 20 with the ball and more than 50 with the bat. And if you look at his overall record in test cricket, in 88 test matches, he's got 3,807 runs and his average is a healthy 37.69. I know you're going to bring up the not out thing, Jared, but that's also kind of impressive, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, that's all part of it.
Not getting out is part of the gig. And yeah, with the ball. No. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. No, keep going.
No, I was saying with the ball, he's got 362 wickets as well and at an average of 22.81. ODI World Cup winning captain for Pakistan and someone who literally changed, you know, the persona of Pakistan cricket. And even within Pakistan, everyone started to look at themselves differently. And it was all rock and roll there on, long hair, fast bowling, and that sort of attitude where you know that you can win. So I feel like Imran is one of the most important cricketers of all time. And I'm not worried about having picked him so high.
I had him ahead of Tendulkar on my list. Hmm.
All right, then. Yeah. Then I did well.
I mean, that's more because I focus on all-rounders possibly. I also think he's very underrated as a one-day bowler. And one day player, I should say. Maybe less so a one day bowler, but certainly a one day player. So average 26 with the economy of 3.89. And when he batted, we kind of all remember him as the pinch blocker because that's what he did at the end of his career. But he had a strike rate of 72 and averaged 30 odd, I think, in ODI cricket as well. So, you know, absolutely fantastic cricketer. So I've got no issue with that at all.
Yeah. 33.41 actually in ODIs, which at that time is a very healthy ODI average. You know?
And again, the influence he had on the game or on Pakistani cricket is like, that elevates a player as well, right? To become a great player.
I think if you look at all these players, like there's a law in Australia. I think it's a law, but there's certainly a regulation in Australia that you can't make anything with Don Bradman's image on it without going through a legal, like, you know, with old dead people, you just put their face on anything, right? But you can't do it with him. And the only other person in Australia that you can't do that with is Mary MacKillop, who is the first Catholic saint from Australia. Right. So he's literally on the same level as a saint in Australia. And you look at Sobers and what Sobers did, not just for Barbados, but for West Indian cricket, you know, all together, and Imran. And obviously, like, while we're doing that, I'll put Sachin Tendulkar in the next player there. Is exactly the same, right? Yeah. So that's my second pick. Tendulkar's my second pick. So exactly the same again. We're not talking about normal people.
Yeah.
Like, we are talking about, like, you know, someone else that they had a cultural effect on their country and in some cases the entire world, the way that it was.
And they still continue to do, right? With Imran's case right now, like, Pakistan is currently, you know, going through a lot
Maybe you don't want to talk about this right turmoil. At the moment, but
he who shall not be named. Some people will vote for me and some people will hate me for this, but hey, that's the nature of the show.
I remember there was this time on Twitter where there were all these people saying that Wasim Akram was a better cricketer than Imran Khan. And I don't know about Pakistani politics. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't vote for Imran Khan based on the things I know of him, right?
But he's got a lot of problematic things. There's no denying that.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm like, sorry, guys, this isn't a contest. Yeah. I love Wasim Akram and I wanted to be Wasim Akram. Imran Khan is just a way better cricketer than Wasim Akram was. And Wasim Akram might come up on this list, but Imran is so high. Okay, so I'll go Sachin Tendulkar next. I think you guys have heard of him. one of the greatest ODI players of all time, one of the greatest Test players of all time. If it wasn't for Bradman, he, you know, might be the greatest batter that we've ever had. And even then, I still think he has a case for being the greatest batter of all time. It's just that Bradman's case is probably a little bit stronger. And then I would go, I'm going to go Viv Richards next.
Nice.
I kind of wanted it. Well, you guys have all taken all my key all-rounders at this point. But I'll go with Viv Richards because also, like Tendulkar, arguably the greatest ODI batter of all time. Maybe not the greatest test batter of all time, but certainly quite solidly in the top 10. And for about 90 years or 80 years, whatever it was, he was no one had ever batted fast in test cricket after Trumper. And Viv just came in and went, hold my beer. And people are still not catching up to him. He's still in the top 10 or 15, depending on how you look at the strike rates of that. So, yeah, I think that's pretty solid. I'm a little bit batting heavy in my lineup at the moment. But if you put Bradman, Tendulkar and Viv Richards in, you are covering quite a lot of fan groups there. So good luck to the bloke who picked Warne and Imran.
And I mean, Sachin and Viv could roll their arm as well. But you know, those are solid picks because as you mentioned,
Bradman could bowl too, by the way.
Oh,
yeah, well, he could bowl leggies.
All-rounder kink is somewhat being fulfilled. but yeah, I mean, if you look at those two picks, right, they make complete sense because Viv, as you mentioned, was a bit of an anomaly. We've seen the true strike rate and true average sort of graphs and charts that you guys make, and Viv completely sticks out like a not-so-sore thumb, a good thumb, a positive thumb, right?
The best kind of thumb.
Yeah, the best kind of thumb. Tom Thumb.
Hey.
He was, a time traveler in many ways and far ahead of his time and completely revolutionized the sport. Whereas Sachin, sure, we can talk about the fact that he's the highest ever scorer in both tests and ODIs and has scored, what, over 34,000 international runs? But he's got 100 hundreds and you've got to give it to him for longevity as well, right? 463 ODIs and 200 test matches over a career which was spanning, what, 24 years? So that, I think, has to also kind of factor in when you speak of Sachin. I think that's important.
Cricket 8 brings you this show. They are a new player in the game trying to educate fans on what is really happening in cricket. Head over for their watch-alongs, podcasts and articles on what is happening on the field and why it matters. Cricket 8 is your place for cricket intelligence.
Okay, now I've got a really tricky pick coming up and you guys might slander me for this one.
I kind of feel well, this is where it gets a lot more subjective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I can't imagine anyone having a huge problem with any of the top seven that we've got at this stage. Whereas at this stage, I think you have to start picking kind of based on your own personal preference a little bit more. Mm. And that gets a little bit trickier.
I do have some sort of rationale for my next pick. And brace yourselves for it. At number three, I'm going with AB de Villiers. And that's because I factored in T20s into this. And this man was an absolute enigma. He is pretty much the pioneer when it comes to 360 cricket, could score in all different directions across the park. And also what I loved about AB was his versatility. You could bat him in multiple positions, and in a test match, if he had to like go for a blockathon, AB could do that. If he had to completely bat the opposition out of the game, AB de Villiers could do that. He could keep wicket as well. I've seen him bowling, and this is a man who in ODIs...
Yeah, he can't bowl.
Sure, but we've seen it. In ODIs, he scored 9,577 runs in 228 games at an average of 53.5 and a strike rate of over 100, 101.9 or 0.09, which is crazy. And in test matches as well, you know, 8,765 runs across 114 test matches. He's got 22 hundreds and his average is 50.66. And in T20s, I mean, at that point of like T20 cricket when he was playing, if you're averaging 25 plus and striking it at over 135, which he did, I think you're quite special. We all know how good he was in the IPL as well. And yeah, he's just such an all-rounder. Could have played hockey if he wanted to, right? So that's why I've gone for AB at number three.
He can do everything except for bowl and produce really good pop songs.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he tried. Both of those things.
He gave him a go. I had him really high up on my list for the exact same reason, actually. Yeah. So I didn't think that was that controversial. Probably the best T20 batter of all time. Arguably one of the greatest top three ODI batters of all time. And is a great test batter. Like, I mean, you throw in the wicket keeping, as you said. I know it's not like his first skill or anything, but it's hard not to have him on this list, right? Like, you know, there's a couple other players for the same reason. Like, they are so good across formats.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, with AB, okay, I think you really need to watch him also, right? To understand that greatness. Like, it's not just statistics, but just the way he went about things and the way he could play. He could basically do anything. So, like Jared said, like...
Anything but win an international trophy.
I mean, that's true for every South African great, right? Except for the ones who won the Champions Trophy.
I suppose. Okay. The knockout cup, not the Champions Trophy.
Well, the Commonwealth gold.
All right, okay, Estelle. Two picks coming up for you.
Yeah, two picks coming up, and it's good. I think it is very much
Dilharo Fernando,
Michael Clark, Kamindu Mendes.
Kamindu Mendes will be on this list someday, right? So I mean, I'm like, it's a projection pick. No, I'm going. Yeah. I'm going with Lara. I think if Tendulkar's on this, then of that era, it was basically the Shane Warne and Muthiah Muralidharan version in batting was Sachin and Lara. And I know so many of those left-handers who came up after that just emulated him, right? And wanted to be more like him. Again, I feel like he's a guy, he's got the runs and he's definitely got the record, but also he's another guy who you really needed to see in full flow. Like when I was growing up, we didn't have a lot of like channels, right, in Sri Lanka. So we didn't get to watch a lot of him batting. I remember the first time I looked, not the first time I saw him, but the first time I realized like this guy is amazing. It's like, I'm sure some people don't even remember this knock. It was the first match of the 2003 ODI World Cup against South Africa. The way he played in that game, he made 100 and it was just
he basically kicked him out of that tournament.
Yeah, in their own backyard, right? And just the way he played, it was unlike anything you see from other batters, right? So I think, again, he's someone that you really needed to see in full flow to appreciate how great he was.
Yeah, no, yep. I mean, flamboyance personified, probably one of the best flair players of all time. That backlift and the way he kind of absolutely murdered pace and spin.
I looked this up once in Test cricket where the best partner he ever had that made over like 500 runs in Test cricket was Chanderpaul, who averaged like 44. So like the pitches he was playing on, no one was making runs except for him. Like it, when you start to look up stuff like that, look, he gave up about 2 or 3 years of his prime as well because he enjoyed life and probably didn't get the most out of himself. But yeah, just probably I would say, and obviously Viv is on this list as well, but and Bradman, but legit match winning batters in an era that where, you know, that where bowlers really dominated.
Yeah, and also not to forget Brian Charles Lara, the first man in the history of the game to register scores of 375, 400 and 501. So good luck beating that.
Yeah, he should have made one extra run, shouldn't he? Because he couldn't trademark 501. Bit of a mistake there. But yeah. We live and we learn, Brian. I hope he's doing okay today in his palatial mansion outside of Trinidad, on the outskirts of Trinidad.
Yeah, the Prince of Port of Spain. All right, Estelle.
Okay, one more. Another left-hander. Bowler Wasim Akram.
Good one.
To me, one of the, I mean, growing up in the 90s, you don't look beyond him as a great fast bowler, right? So good with the new ball, old ball, reverse swing, anything. And then he's got a, I mean, he's pretty handy with the bat as well. He didn't make a lot of runs, but he could when he wanted to. So great ODI record, really good in tests as well. So I think he definitely deserves a spot in the top 15.
I know we're going to do best left arm all format seamers at some point, but
he might get in that one.
Yeah, he probably qualifies as number one for that. I think it's what, 916 wickets across formats, 414 in test matches and 502 in ODIs. And up until Murali beat his record, like it seemed like Wasim Akram will always hold the record for most ODI wickets. And you know, when you think of that 90s ODIs era, he's one of the first names that pops up. Brilliant with the new ball and with the old reverse swinging genius, toe-crushing Yorkers, all of that stuff. And also, I mean, Jared, you could probably speak better to this, but young Wasim and old Wasim were two different cricketers. And old Wasim still managed to remain so relevant by evolving and, you know, shortened run-up and all of that, even changed up his action a bit. So he was someone who went along with the times and was fantastic every single of those little periods.
Yeah, I mean, the best one is Waqar Yunus for what, 6 years, 7 years, had a record like Bumrah, right? And then what happens to fast bowlers? He lost a little bit of his pace and obviously struggled to be able to get, the snap that he used to have in that ridiculous action. And he drops off. He's still a good bowler in the second half of his career, but it's why he's not an all-time great, right? Yeah. Whereas Wasim just kept being great no matter what sort of happened at any stage. And, you know, there probably aren't many bowlers in the history of the game that could bowl off, you know, seam bowlers anyway, could bowl off six steps and be almost as efficient or, you know, as good. Like, it's ridiculous when you look at Michael Holding's run up and, you know, Dennis Lilly's run up and these, you know, even Bumrah needs a few extra steps in. Wasim Akram was so strong in that shoulder. It was, you know, and as Estelle said, you get a little bit of batting there as well.
Yeah. Also, I mean, he's scored what, 250 plus in a test match, right? So that's quite handy.
Against Zimbabwe.
Yeah. But also 100 in Adelaide, right? So.
Yeah. No, I'm saying you get some batting.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And the hair. You also get the hair.
You get a lot of hair. Have we ever told this story on Cricket Picks? So I wrote about fastballers' hair. I wrote like a 7,000-word article for Cricket Film fastballers' hair. I don't know how I haven't made this into a video yet, by the way. And we made the piece and we put it up. And I voted him the greatest fastballing hair of all time because there was more variety in his hair than, say, someone like Joel Bakhtar and some of the others, right?
Yeah.
And he tweeted about it and he thanked his hair shampoo sponsor, which is just, I can't, like, I've met Wasim Akram, right? Like, I've talked to him about cricket.
Did he have this a chat a with you in the morning?
Yeah, he had a chat with me in the morning. But this was a far greater moment in my career, having Wasim Akram tweet my piece and thank his hair sponsor. It's still, like, if I ever get, like, you know, like a wall of, you know, a memorabilia about my career, I'm going to have the Wasim Akram tweet on the wall.
All right, yeah. So strong picks by everyone, and Estelle has stolen mine. So I think
I'll let you have him in the next one.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if we actually record that one next, yes, I'll have him automatically.
Yeah, you'll have him, right? Yeah.
But we don't know that yet. So I'm going to go to South Africa again, guys, for pick number four. Let's do Jacques Kallis. And he was someone who, I mean, if you think of the best all-rounders of all time, Sobers, Imran, and then Kallis is a strong contender for number three, I would say. He's someone who averaged 55.37 in Test cricket across 166 games. He scored 13,289 runs, which is colossal. Also played 328 ODIs and scored 11,579 runs at an average of 44+. Strike rate was debatable in ODIs, but still a very, very reliable
bat. No, it was not debatable. It was bad.
Yeah, it was bad. It's 72 when he didn't even play in that, you know, early 90s era. But, you know, you add the bowling to that, 292 test wickets and 273 ODI wickets. I remember there was this India versus South Africa test match in which they were comparing Kallis's numbers to Rahul Dravid and Zaheer Khan. So he had more runs and at a better average than Dravid and more wickets at a better average than Zaheer. So, yeah, I feel quite confident with this one.
What about his T20 record?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, you can't have everything, Jared.
Well, no, I just wonder because I think you've left some players who don't have a hole. Like, he was a negative in T20 cricket, right?
He was.
So, either of you guess what his T20 strike rate was? And it was early T20 cricket, but the number I'm going to say is not acceptable in any period. What do you guys think his batting strike rate was?
Well, I mean, I have it 80. In front of me, so I'll let Estelle guess.
80 would be awesome, by the way.
It's not 80.
It's 112, right? Yeah. Like, it's bad. That's and from 176. And those weren't, most of those weren't internationals, right? So that was in franchise leagues. That's the case against him. Whereas if you look at the other players we've got on the list so far, not all of them play T20 cricket, but Bradman would have been fine. Richards would have been fine. Tendulkar, had he played in his prime, would have been fine. Obviously, Warne played a little bit and was still good. Imran would have been good at his best. He's the one guy that you look at and you go, we saw it and it didn't translate. Because we're talking best cricketers of all time, it's just, I'm not exactly sure where that goes and
did
and,
you
and everything.
Put him in your top 15?
He was fringe top 15 for me.
Ooh, interesting.
I would have actually had another South African ahead of him, to be honest.
There was Derek one Crooks. Other South African, yeah. But I don't know. It's just the all-rounder thing that kind of got to me. Okay. You want us to get cancelled on episode 50.
I don't think Kallis is a bad pick. It was more just the question of that. And maybe if he was younger, it wouldn't have been an issue. But like, because by the time he plays, he's quite old as well. Yeah. And he still gives you bowling in T20 cricket. Like, I'm not saying he was always frontline. I don't think he's a bad pick for this, but as I said before, they get a little bit more subjective when you get to this point, right? Like, Wasim Akram's incredible. There are some other players you might pick ahead of Wasim Akram on a similar level. Yeah. I am going to go now. Can you just tell me what the name of this episode is again?
It is Best Cricketers of All Time.
WG Grace.
I kind of knew you were going to pick him, you know.
It didn't say test. You didn't say. So, WG Grace, if you count his cricket before test cricket, probably we've all stiffed him here, right?
Yeah.
I didn't quite want to put him in my top three, although if we were realistically doing this, he'd probably maybe be at the same level as Bradman because of the bowling as well.
Also, and that's he was averaging 30-odd in test cricket, right? When everyone else was averaging 20-odd?
This is brought to you by Cricket 8. They are a new player in the game trying to educate fans on what is really happening in cricket. We have a partnership with them where we host live watch-alongs, do podcasts and write articles. If you want to know what is really happening with our game, visit cricket8.com.
Yeah, he's when he did play. So the hilarious thing about WG Grace is he plays Test cricket in the 1800s, and that's the time he stops taking cricket seriously to start his medical practice, right? Hmm. And that's of course when Test cricket happens. And he's also in his mid to late 30s, I think, at that stage, or certainly in his 30s at that stage, and he's still way better than everyone else, right? And yeah, even in his 40s. Right? He's still one of the best five players in the world. But if you go back and you have a look at the first class record, there is a year where he makes more hundreds on his own than the rest of first class cricket combined. Right? He literally outscores the game of cricket on his own. And his peaks are ridiculous when you go back his old first class record. It really is like we haven't seen anything like that, you know, before or since. Bradman kind of toys with it as well. And remember, first class cricket in England was the strongest form of the game, right? Like, it's not like he's dominating the thing that was the strongest. So if you look here, this is 1868, he averages 65, right? Remember, everyone else is averaging about 15. Right, and he averages 68. He then 65. He then averages 57, 54, 78, 57, 72, 52 over the next 6 or 7 years. Yeah. Right, what are we talking about here? Like, it's ridiculous. Like,
he was a
if
doctor.
Everyone else is averaging, and he's a doctor, and everyone else is averaging like 20 or 25. And just to understand the bowling, he's not a frontline bowler, and he was thought of as probably more, you know, third or fourth best bowler in a lot of sides. But he took 2,809 first-class wickets at a bowling average of 18, right? Yeah. So you have to put that in perspective, that in that period, a batting average of 20 to 25 was like quite good. So his bowling average is probably more like 35-ish. But he took 2,809 wickets, right? And he was – a lot of his record, when you look at it, is him playing when he was way too young, and dominating, and then playing Test cricket when he was still late 40s and being absolutely fine at it. And he keeps playing first class cricket into his 50s as well, right? Like, I mean, the overall record is ridiculous. So yeah, there you go. Any arguments, please?
None. I knew he was going to go at some point, and I knew you were going to take him. I actually didn't want to, because you can only do justice to WG Grace with the amount of words you've written for him over the years.
Great. So the next player is another player that I was always going to pick, and I think you all slept on Dalgana.
I knew you were going to pick him too.
I would say arguably still the greatest ODI bowler of all time, and I think Varun was looking into deep numbers the other day, and he kind of agrees. And Varun isn't Garner-pilled the way I'm Garner-pilled. And the greatest first change bowler in the history of Test cricket. I don't even think that, you know, outside of Warner Murley, of course, who I suppose were also in that kind of thing. To be those two things and not be on this list is I think, just unfair. I think you could make claims that there are slightly better test bowlers than him not on this list. I don't think you can make a claim there is a better ODI bowler who is not on this list.
Yeah, because his economy is what, under 3 or in and around that number in ODIs?
It's funny because when you look at it, like, obviously, you're just like, it's low. But when you look at, do you still have Imran's economy up there? Do you still have his stats?
No, I don't. But you said 3 point something in the ODIs.
Yeah. So Joel Garner's economy is 3.1. And I think Kapil Dev, who I consider a great player and probably might just miss out on this list. Don't want to go ahead. But I consider a great player as well. And it's like, his is like 3.7. So he's like half a run more further back, which just tells you how ridiculous Joel Garner was. So yeah, very good. Very handy player. Probably not going to help you all that much with the bat, but not a zero on the bat. Do you know what I mean? He was probably slightly worse than, let's say, maybe slightly worse as well. He was probably more on that. I'm trying to think of someone's level. Not on Warne's level, but better than Gillespie, perhaps, is maybe a good way of looking at it, even if he doesn't have the double hundred.
Fair enough. Yeah. So you've gone cricket's biggest supervillain in history and Big Bird. And that leaves me with my final pick. I know I'm going to Australia for this one. I'm just confused between a wicketkeeper batter who I personally love, but then also there is this one bowler who needs to be on this list, and I'm just going to go ahead and pick Glenn McGrath because I feel like he has to be in the top 15 cricketers of all time. You look at that record, right? 124 test matches, 563 wickets at 21.64. Again, like Waz, he also just continued to evolve over time, and even when he lost his pace, if anything, he got better. Probably the most accurate bowler I've witnessed on the telly in my life. And then even in ODIs, you know, 381 wickets at 22 in 250 games. He is a, what is it, Jared? Three-time ODI World Cup winner. Of course, barely played any T20 cricket. But, you know, he would have been fine, I feel. And he had a killer slower one.
I'm going to have to stop you there. He plays one IPL season, right? When he was finished.
Yeah.
Yes.
And his economy was 6.6. And he was finished. Like, he should not have even been playing at that stage. He was he was basically completely done. And he still didn't get hit, right? And he's bowling at the death. Like, no, yeah. I think he probably is a better cricketer. Do I think he's a better cricketer than Wasim Akram? Because it was Wasim Akram's batting. I think he probably has a slightly better case because we saw one season of IPL cricket, right? But Wasim would have been great in IPL. There's nothing in his stats that would have. So he might have a better case. So I don't know where you put those two, but I had them very high as well. Both. I had McGrath one spot ahead of Akram.
Oh, interesting. So when I think of McGrath, I also think of the hair, by the way. Pidge had amazing hair towards the back end of his career. An arrogant guy.
He had the same. He had a haircut that was literally cut by his mum for 15 years before that. Yeah.
Also, he was the sort of guy who, if you would put a coin on the pitch and tell him to just hit that coin with every single delivery he bowled, he would do that. He could work batters over in a jiffy, and the setups that McGrath had are like on par with some of the best I've ever seen. And yeah, I mean, like I said, it would be criminal if we didn't have him in the top 15.
Okay. Oh, he's a big one.
Last pick.
Imagine getting last pick in this one. You cannot get this right, can you? You just cannot get this right.
Terrible podcast to get the last pick in, honestly.
Yeah, worst one. And I don't know whether I should, like, it's going to be a biased pick either way, right? I picked Dale Steyn in like the last three episodes we've done. I could go with a Sri Lankan.
You could go with an Indian who is still playing but has a solid case, in my opinion.
Yeah, I had him on too.
Yeah.
There's a few. I think that would win this for me, right?
It could win this for you, but you know, Steyn has played his career out entirely, and the Indian bowler hasn't. So there's a bit of that.
And not just Indian bowler. There's another Indian as well. There are two current Indian players.
I was talking about the other one, not the bowler, because I think the bowler it's a bit too soon, right? To be top 15.
Maybe, but yeah. But I think there's no doubt he will be.
He will be.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
But he has a better shot at it than Kamindu, I would say.
Yeah, there's a couple of Australians. I think there's some more West Indians, by the way, as well. There might be someone else from another country that we haven't mentioned at all yet. So I think there's a few out there. I can't wait to see how she gets this wrong.
How I get this wrong. Right. Okay.
So this is a recorded show. So people are watching this.
Yeah, they're watching me think. Because
that's fine.
There's only one right answer here, which people would
is
think there? Right. But no, I mean, the popular opinion would be that it's right, but everything else would be wrong, right? I'll just go
with Kumar. Finish this.
Okay, I'll go with Kumar.
Lovely. I love this show. Great episode 50. Take all of my money.
Go with Kumar. So that
you made me Stuart Broad on live camera by accident. That's what you just did.
Wow. Okay. This is insane. So, Estelle, speak.
Second most number of runs overall. A great test batter. No, I mean,
he's left the station. Jared Kimber is not here anymore.
People are going to criticize a pick anyway, right? So might as well. Yep.
But the thing is, you knew this pick was going to be tough, right?
Yeah.
And you pole vaulted over the toughness to another level of toughness that I didn't even know was there.
Okay, then I'm going to let
there's like nine options.
No, you're not changing this. You are not changing this. Number 15 is Kumar, that's final.
Let me change it so that people don't yell at me in the comments.
Why care about the people? This is theater. This is the best Quick Fix episode of all time.
Yeah, that's 50th episode, right?
Stick with it, Estelle.
The 50th. There's no other way to end it, the 50th episode, other than picking Kumar Sangakkara for the vibes.
Yes. I mean, I would probably have Kumar in my top 25, you know?
Yeah, he's quite high. Can I go through some names that we now don't have on this list? All right. Sure. So I think we kind of decided within the thing that Jasper Bumrah wasn't in it. I did have him in my top 15, but I had him right on the edge because he hasn't played enough yet. But Virat Kohli is obviously another one. You know, he's T20 cricket is an issue at times for him, but his T20 international cricket is so good that I kind of still had him very high up on the list. And he's obviously, you know, in the top 25 test batters of all time without any issue there as well. Here's one that I thought was really interesting, which was Chris Gayle. But none of you went with.
Very interesting. I mean, I was so tempted to go for Gilly, but there was a bit of bias in there. I grew up a Gilly fan, right? But we have no wicketkeepers. I mean, AB is there, I guess.
Would you have Gilly ahead of Gayle?
Yes. I would, because I feel like he transformed wicketkeeper batters, right? I know Alex Stewart was there before him, but Alex Stewart was a batter who became a wicketkeeper, whereas Gilchrist was always a wicketkeeper who kind of completely revolutionized the role, which is why I felt like he had a solid case.
I think too.
So I think Gayle has a really good case here.
Yeah, because he has like this almost invincibility about him, right? When he got going, there wasn't anything you could do. Plus, Gilchrist played in a great lineup. Chris Gayle, not so much.
Yeah, and part of it is kind of how you look at Chris Gayle's other formats. So Test cricket, he's probably in the top 70 best players of all time, batters of all time, which isn't that high for this list, right? T20 cricket, he's probably, you know, top two or top three. One day cricket, he's kind of in the middle because he averages 37, which is really good, but not incredible. But a strike rate of 87 in a period where that wasn't the case. But he also doesn't play a lot of one day cricket when he's probably at his peak hitting zone. And as Estelle said, he also probably couldn't play one day cricket the way he wanted to because of the rest of the batting order. I found him really interesting. Anyway, I didn't know where to put him. Ricky Ponting.
Yeah. Ponting was high in my list.
Yeah. I kind of think that Ponting's a better one day player than Brian Lara, but only because I think Ponting tried and I think Brian Lara didn't. But if you look at their numbers, there really isn't much in it. Like they're pretty close. And maybe also, we remember because Ponting won World Cups and Lara didn't, but that wasn't Lara's fault. I mean, he carried them through some tournaments.
He did win a Champions Trophy. Not that you ever count those, Jared.
exactly. So that doesn't count.
I feel like guys like Dale Steyn and Jimmy Anderson are also kind of unfortunate over here, you know?
Curtly?
Yeah, Curtly as well.
I mean, Malcolm Marshall is another one. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So there's a few there, but we didn't have Richard Hadley.
I had him in my long list.
Yeah,
also,
Jack
Hobbs someone that you can consider, although like he only played Test cricket, but he played in an era where it was really tough, right?
Look, I've got him without giving away my book. He's very high up in the list of the top Test batters of all time. Mostly because of what he does before the war when no one's making any runs and he's just smashing it everywhere. I had him kind of where I have Dale Steyn and Curtly Ambrose in that sort of, they probably could be higher, but it's just hard to work out exactly who I would move around at that time. So Jack Hobbs was very high. You could put in like Aubrey Faulkner and Keith Miller, like some of the other greats all rounders, you know, even guys like, Kapil Dev I had quite high, but just outside of my top 15. Ian Botham, but he was terrible in one day cricket. But if he tried in one day cricket again, he would have been very good.
If he tried at all,
So
I'm surprised Bedan didn't bring up Cook.
Oh, I mean, he doesn't make top 15 of all time, right? I mean, I would have gone Hobbs or even Len Hutton over Cook if we were picking English players. But
Len Hutton is another one. Yeah,
I really wanted to go for, or at least I wish we had one of Steyn and Anderson, you know, because they were really, really good. And I mean, Curtly, you mentioned.
I don't think either of them should be on.
Courtney Walsh is also there.
I love all those bowlers, but I don't think any of those should be in the list. Steyn is the one I would probably have the closest. The other bowler we missed out
is close. He was close for me.
Yeah, definitely. Sydney Barnes is the other one, a bowler we missed out. It's so hard with Sydney Barnes, I think. But again, that there's a lot of very good cricketers between 15 and 25. And people, this is what people have got to understand when they start to make this list. You can't just put people in the list. You need to take other people out of the list. And that's where it gets a little bit tricky. Do you want me to go through them?
No, before you do, Estelle never got to rationalize her Kumasi.
I think we're done.
I want to hear this.
No, we're done.
You can't rationalize vibes, man.
I'm completely here for it, though. Being a Sangha fan, I love that this has happened.
My God, I forgot that happened, actually. I blocked that out of my brain. All right, I went Don Bradman, Sachin Tendulkar, Viv Richards, WG Grace, and Joel Garner. Bayram went Shane Warne, Imran Khan, AB de Villiers, Jacques Callis, and Glenn McGrath. Estelle went Garfield Sobers, Mutai Muralitharan, Brian Lara, Wasim Akram, and Kumar Sangakkara.
Yes, sir. She might have actually won this with the
Virat
last pick. Yeah, if you,
I don't know. Virat,
you could have won this.
Because there's,
would she have? I don't know. She does have tricky.
Lara, Murali, Wasim. Who else was there?
I don't know if Murali gets enough love for her to win this. That's her issue, yeah. She's got a nice mix from different eras, though. And if you put Virat in, it's a really interesting one there. But yeah, no, she's not going to win it now.
Anyway, you guys should let us know who we should have picked and which top five you like the most. And comment with the winner, right? We're really curious about this one because it is episode 50 and a lot is at stake over here. And let us know if there were any big names that we forgot to mention in the honorary mentions as well. This was fun, guys. I think we've come full circle with Quick Picks now with this particular title.
I mean, wow. I can't believe we've done 50 of these. Yeah. And I feel like there's like the other day, I just sent you off like four or five more that came to my head. Like there is, it's incredible. And I don't even think we've got proper nerdy at this stage with it. And we've got pretty nerdy at times. This was an interesting one. And I apologize to everyone for us getting it wrong.
Yeah. And whoever wins this in the polls doesn't matter because Estelle is the winner of our hearts. That's never going to change. She is the undisputed king of Quick Picks. Or queen, sorry. Queen of Quick Picks. And yeah, I mean, that pretty much wraps this up. Let us know everything that you want to let us know in the comments. And just a quick reminder, you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage. And that can prove to be a one-stop shop for all the work that we do, whether that be written pieces, podcasts, or videos. We'll see you again next week with another episode of Quick Picks. That's all for now, guys. Have a good one and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bayram Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make any content, Minbo Pro is the tool for you. Take your long format content and cut it and slice it for social media. This AI-inspired weapon will turn your one piece of work into so many clips. Try Minbo.pro now.